I'm going to bring it down early, Howard. I know that pains you. I know you just like letting it hang out for a long time, but...
This is the only time every week I get to listen to Gray Sky Eternal, man.
You are the only person listening to them currently, to my knowledge. I love my brother, and his band is great, but boy, did that not find an audience. That seems to be the trademark in the Papa Giorgio arts department.
I bought the iTunes album, did you?
I did not, and I'm his brother, so there you go.
You are yet to purchase it. Just remember that, man.
I don't even...
You have to spill one of these days, I'm going to remind you to pay for that.
All right. Guys, this is Papa's Football Podcast. I'm John Papa Giorgio, joined today not just by the beautiful, the illustrious, shining half-golden skin.
All the above.
Yes. Howard Flood. Sorry. Almost let your last name out there. I have also got Tim Trueheart.
Whoa, what's up? Yeah.
And WJFK fan favorite. This is for you, DTET, Matt Doyen.
What is up, gentlemen? How are you doing today?
Just very weird playing to a packed house. If you want to get a hold of anyone via Twitter, we're all very active on Twitter. I'm at Papa's Basement. Howard is at What the F in Heezy. You can tweet my normal name, my easy to remember name, to figure out how to contact him. Tim is just at Tim Trueheart. He's also on the Jellyvision show at Jellyvision Live on Twitter. And Matt, you want to get a hold of him? It's at the Doyenian, almost like if Doyen was Armenian. The Doyonian.
That works, or I just tell people my name is Ian, you know?
There you go.
Last name, first name.
All right. So we can bring this down. You're probably wondering why I sound happy after the Redskins undoubtedly were demolished by Seattle.
Ooh.
And that is because that game is not played out yet. The dirty little secret of the show is that we record it Monday afternoons. That's why you rarely, if ever, hear Monday night coverage. Sometimes we lie and just throw it out there.
I claim that one of these days we will have a blog about the Monday night game if the Monday night game is interesting, but.
Well, I've threatened that I'm going to put out a little addendum, if you will. I'll record something on my little Yeti into the laptop for 30 seconds summarizing just how badly the Redskins were crushed by Seattle. But, what was that old election with the guy holding his newspaper, and it was like Dewey beats Truman or something like that.
Right, yeah.
Dewey's holding it, looking like a jackass. Well, I'll go on record saying Seattle just demolished the Redskins, and the Redskins season is over. But if that's not the case, I'll eat crow gladly.
Gladly, yeah. You hate Seattle, man. You're a big hater on Russell Wilson, native Virginian Russell Wilson.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He can eat balls. What, third round pick, whatever. Go to hell.
I hate. With a Super Bowl ring.
Yeah.
How's RG3 working out for you, man?
Oh, he sucks. I hate RG3. I hate Pete Carroll, though.
Yeah, that's fair.
Pete Carroll seems like an evil hippie type guy. Like, he's everything wrong.
He's a secret type A personality. You can tell.
Yeah.
He's like, hey, man, what's up?
Yeah.
This is totally cool.
Like, he wants to just meditate and be like, oh, what's yours is mine, man. And then, like, 20 minutes later, he's banging your chick in the back of the VW. It's like, oh, it's just communal women, man. You're like... Yeah, but you're banging my chick and you didn't bring any of your own. What the hell? Yeah, total like, here's some kale, here's some Diana ball, whatever you want to take to make the team, man. I don't trust that dude whatsoever. It was a bad week of NFL football overall. Matt, that chair is loud as hell, my friend. You got to sit still. I know it pains you. It pains me to do it. We're both ADD cases, but, it was a bad week, starting with Thursday night. Howard, you've gone on record stating that you believe all the Thursday night games are garbage, and especially for any first-year coaches.
It's only going to get worse this week because Houston's first-year head coach is taking his team into a Thursday night game, too.
Well,
yeah.
It's funny you asserted that because Pro Football Talk put up an article a couple days ago to that exact effect. I believe the title was like.
I'm convinced they listen to this show and they steal our material.
They are the evil Mike Florio.
I emailed him once. He never got back to me. I think he's just been stalking us since.
I love to believe that. Anytime I email anyone famous,
yeah, they're busy.
Yeah,
stealing my shit.
Keeping tabs on us.
Yeah.
So, your streak of the first year coaches getting crushed continued. I forget just how badly Minnesota lost, but. Boy, did they lose.
Bridgewater was out as well, so they went back to Christian Ponder, which was going to doom them from kickoff.
It was – I tapped in for, I'm not kidding, 30 seconds. I turned it on around 9:15 p.m. It was already like 28 zip.
Yeah.
I'm like, well, that's it for me in this affair. It was exactly like Dallas at, or no, New Orleans at Dallas.
You didn't think
last Sunday.
You didn't think Sunday got any better though? I thought there was some improvement.
What, the Sunday night game this week?
Or just Sunday games in general, yeah.
Well, they haven't been as lopsided, period. This particular Sunday's the Patriots hosting the Bengals. It was funny because look, I hate the Patriots too. I hate a winner. That's why I am where I am in life. But I hate the Patriots. I hate Seattle. But you were a damned horse's ass if you really thought that them getting crushed by the Chiefs was the end of some sort of era and they were just going to pack it in and go 3-13 on the season.
I mean, the reality was they're in the AFC East. Who are they going to go up against this year?
It is a garbage division.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no one that's really going to challenge them. What, the Bills with Orton?
Hey, you heard it here. I'm going to defend him, man. My boy Geno Smith is probably...
I actually like Geno. I finally watched him a couple weeks ago, like 2 weeks in a row, and I grew to like him. That team is doomed, though. Like, he sucked. They put in Vic, and just seeing Vic being immobile and forced to be a pocket passer, in quotes, that showed me what's going to happen once RG3 is forced to do the same. It's going to be a long, cold season.
I'm telling you, I got Geno Smith beating the Patriots one game this year. I don't see, like, how off the basis of last night on the Sunday night game this week. Yeah, they beat the Bengals in New England, but I want to see how the Patriots do when they go to play in New York, because I don't think that they're going to fare very well against the Jets in New York. That's just the way I see it. That's a team that can't play away from home yet at this point.
I think it's hard to contend that the Jets can do anything in this league at this point. If you watch them on Sunday, and I did, because for some reason CBS had three games to pick from. Well, I guess, let's see. Well, they could have gone AFC because Kansas City was playing San Fran and Arizona at Denver. We could have had that as well, another AFC game. And for some reason, my local CBS affiliate went with the barn burner that was the Jets at San Diego, losing 31-0.
Listen, I'm tired of people saying, all right, we went from the storyline being the Patriots are done, Belichick and Brady are gone after the season, to this morning's headline was, oh, they're back, Belichick is the greatest genius in football history. Oh, wait a minute, he gets outcoached regularly by Rex Ryan. I really don't think he can beat the Jets twice this year. If it's a coaching matchup, I think Rex Ryan's going to at least take one. If not, a chance at both wins. I know I'm crazy sounding for saying that, but I still think that the Jets can beat the Patriots twice this year.
Twice. Strong words.
Twice.
Right?
Yeah. Tim, did you watch anything this weekend or?
I did not watch a thing. Not one thing.
What did you do, like, actually in real life instead of watching?
You know what? I was at the, DC Improv this weekend. I was working the door.
Nice.
And, we had Gerard Carmichael. He actually, who's headlining this weekend, Saturday night, he released a HBO special, and I got to watch him live the whole weekend. Pretty cool.
Wow, okay. Yeah. I went to my friend's grandma's basement and got really drunk really fast watching football, so we'll call it a draw.
Yeah, definitely.
Both of us. Matt, what did you get into game-wise?
I caught a little football, but I was actually more in tune with baseball this weekend.
Oh my god, that'll be on Papa's basement.
Ooh.
We're gonna talk about that. You know me, I don't really care for baseball, but I tapped in just in time to see DC do horrible things to my heart. Another DC franchise.
Why do you root for the DC baseball team, man? We grew up watching the Orioles.
Yeah, Orioles.
Oh, no. Don't get me wrong. I root for the Orioles much more than the Nationals, so I'm fairly happy. Fairly happy, except for the fact they're playing the Royals. Like, why couldn't they play the Sox or someone worthy of, like, ample amounts of hate? Instead, they're just playing the other kid that has sucked for 30 years. And
hey, that's a great story, man, because somebody's taking home the AL pennant this year that hasn't won it in a very, very long time.
Oh, my God, yeah. The league was segregated when these guys last won. It's been a while, man. Okay, so the other horrible, horrible thing in the league right now, Dallas and the Eagles both somehow 4-1, both looking formidable to say the least.
I won't go that far. They look like they're gonna make the playoffs. That's a different phrase, man.
That's, dude, you have no idea how I live in fear of the fact that, the Skins are already two Super Bowls down on Dallas. Like, if they ever get that third.
Are you suggesting that either the Eagles or the Cowboys can win the Super Bowl this year? Are you actually suggesting this?
Crazier things have happened.
No. crazier things have not happened. That's not going to happen. I'm telling you right now. That's not going to happen.
I mean, I want to believe. Don't get me wrong.
Your division's horrible. Like, it doesn't count when they get to play you guys each twice a year. That's the reason why they even get to make the playoffs, all right?
I mean, let's not forget. Let's not forget when Seattle limped into the postseason at 7-9 and then eliminated.
Won one game at home before they got walloped on the road. That's how it works, man. Like, those teams are not going to be able to do anything out of... They'll be lucky to win at home. I'll put it that way.
If you want to look at it this way, though, playing in the lousy NFC East, you can rack up 5-6 wins, bolster that overall record. And if somebody can take home field away from Seattle in the postseason...
I'll talk about a team that has enjoyed preying upon its crappy division for a decade and called it greatness, the Patriots.
Yeah.
So your argument is slightly invalid.
But they win out of the division. That's the thing. They're able to get the one seed in their conference. I have a hard time believing that anybody from the NFC least is going to end up in the number one slot in the NFC.
So what you're saying then, they'll come across Seattle in the postseason at Seattle.
Yeah.
And perish.
But if they can get that one seed, get that bye, beat somebody like Carolina, Atlanta, whoever it ends up being in week two, and then you get Seattle at home, I agree with Papa here. Crazier things have happened.
Yeah,
that's
man.
True.
It's,
I mean,
I don't want it.
Biggest surprise to me this season, like, the NFC South, NFC North have been garbage.
Yeah, absolute yeah. Garbage. Especially, like, I kind of bought into the Bears for, like, 2 weeks.
I bought into the Bears. I
don't know why. I have no idea why.
I thought
that
Detroit,
win at San Fran.
Yeah. They're bad. Yeah, you're right. The win at San Fran. It's like, I forget, their first two, they went 2-0, right? And they had these two, like, how the hell did they win type wins, and they've, what, dropped 3 since, I think?
But the Falcons and the Saints look like garbage. I mean, Carolina's look bad, too. These are teams that were in the playoffs last year, and they all just look like...
No, a bizarre amount of playoff-caliber teams, at least in the NFC, have really dropped off. I guess the last story this week, for my money, because I'm just totally gazo, to put it PC, for Peyton Manning.
That's the top headline. That's the thing we're going to all walk away from this weekend with, because it wasn't the greatest weekend of football, man.
No, the league has been crap. Past couple of weeks. I'm very sad, actually. It's kind of hard drumming up an episode, to be very honest. I'm just like, blowouts, teams I hate winning, and Redskins haven't played yet. Yeah, Peyton is the second player in NFL history to crack the 500 touchdown mark. Brett Favre is the rarefied heir he has joined.
His 500th touchdown pass, Brett Favre, it was thrown to Randy Moss, who was then cut like a couple weeks later.
Really? It was during what era then for him? The Minnesota days?
Yeah, it was when he was with Minnesota. They just brought Randy Moss back.
Back. Oh, God.
He caught the 500th touchdown pass from Favre, and then he ended up insulting a local business owner. And so the Vikings cut him immediately after that.
Huh. What? Like, he said, like, Randy's hardware had bad nails? I mean, what?
Nah, like, one of the other players who was, like, well-established in the community would have this local... ribs place, bring food in.
Uh-huh.
And so Randy was new to the team. You know, he hadn't been there for preseason. And so, like, the second he gets there, it's the first time the food been brought to him. He was just like, what is this dog food? Like, I didn't make millions of dollars in order to eat, like, this crap again. And, you know, it was kind of like this reference to growing up in West Virginia, not having a lot of money. And he's just like, why am I eating this?
Really?
And he just started... like, vocally complaining about it, even though the guy who made it was clearly standing, like, behind the food.
Oh, God. He really was a mental patient, wasn't he?
And the reality was, it really offended this offensive lineman more than anything, because it's his favorite restaurant in Minneapolis. So the coach took his back, and the owner fired the coach at the end of the season, because the owner really wanted Randy Moss on the team. That's one of the reasons I think he bought Minnesota, is he remembers when they had Moss, and they were just ridiculous his rookie season. So when, like, he brings this guy back, he catches Favre's 500th touchdown pass, and then he gets cut, he's like, all right, this dude's fired at the end of the year.
Wow.
Gosh.
I knew none of that.
That's pretty detailed. I like that.
I love Randy Moss. Now, I've been following, like, he's one of the reasons that I love the NFL, like, to this day. I remember when he got drafted 20th, like, 19 teams had passed on him, and he ended up in Minnesota. I thought that was the craziest thing that ever happened. I was like, you gotta be kidding. This guy's gonna change the NFL.
He was, like, a big splash when he came out, though. He had, like, a lot of flavor, a lot of swag.
Yeah, but he was a pain in the ass. Not act like the teams who passed on him as a discipline case missed on that one. He truly was a pain in the goddamn balls.
One of his biggest headlines, though, in terms of embarrassments, involves our own skins. Do you remember when he walked off the field with about 7 seconds left, took a hike to the locker room, and just, he called it quits after about 59 minutes, 53 seconds.
I remember that. Yeah, and everyone was like, he quit on his team, man. That's right. And I'm like, hey, what, I got to watch 60 minutes every skins game to know when they're going to lose? He was done.
I play when I want to play, man.
Yeah, he knew what was up. It's funny because the Peyton game, he actually could have set the single season, or I'm sorry, the single game record for passing yards as well. And like a 77-yard pass was negated on the back of this weird penalty. I don't know that, I forget, who is it, Bruce Arians, the coach of the Cards?
Mm-hmm.
He would not shut up about how dirty this block was on a, was it Calais Campbell?
Okay.
Some sort of choppish block. I don't know what that means exactly. It sounds like someone grabs your shoulders and then someone else like kicks
comes
the back
your
of your
knees.
Knee joint. Yeah. Just, you know, sweep the knee.
They depict that in, I forget what football movie. It's one of those 70s football movies. I don't know if it's North Dallas 40. It's one of them where,
God, I have to watch that again.
Yeah, it's one of these scenes where these two offensive linemen get mad at a defender. And so they just talk about it in the huddle. It's just like, I'll
that,
take
that
him
is
up
North,
high.
That is North Dallas.
I'm gonna break his leg. And then they just like maliciously end this guy's career.
Oh my God.
It's a horrible scene. Yeah.
Wow.
God, it is good.
So yeah, no, it's a dirt.
That's ridiculous, yeah.
Football's a horrible sport, man. You really could do that any given play if you wanted to just like destroy someone's leg. You and a teammate could decide to do that.
Lawrence Taylor it.
Yeah, no, that, like, any play, any given play, you can do that on purpose. It's a crazy sport.
It brings up an interesting issue for me, actually, because the record was set back in 51 by Norm Van Brocklin. There's your trivia for the day.
Wow.
I know Matt over here hosts a trivia night. You can just bust that one out. Get all the ladies. So, my question to you, and it's kind of just a philosophical thing in general, do you have problems with the records in the game being destroyed when the sport bears such, I don't want to say little resemblance to what it was, but like, I always feel weird, first of all, that OJ had what, the first 2,000-yard season back when it was like a 14 game.
Two fewer
season.
Games a season, yeah.
I think it's so weird that guys are able to play two more games a year, and there isn't an asterisk at the very least saying this wasn't done in a lesser amount of time. And same with like, Dan Marino's every passing record is slowly but surely getting obliterated from the books.
Yeah.
And it's like, we don't acknowledge the fact that, like, back in his era, a wideout could have his testicles pulled. Like, that was just a, you know what I mean? Like, you could do whatever you wanted. You could blow beach sand in his eyes.
I've been looking at the history of how the rules changed, and I don't know how long you've been watching football, but for me, I was watching it early enough. I watched it late 80s. I'm sorry, yeah, late 80s, early 90s. I was a big 49ers fan as a kid, just because they were killing everybody at that point.
Right.
And there was the rule change in 93, and I vaguely remember this as a kid, but it was only recently that I realized like how much it's changed the sport. When you could just roll outside the pocket and throw the ball away, and it wasn't intentional grounding, completely changed the quarterback position. When Marino was setting all those records, there was no way to throw the ball out of bounds. The way that they do now. Like, it was just intentional grounding.
Ugh.
So, I mean, you just had to get plowed. Because it was going to be a sack anyway.
No, it's, you look back at what that dude did when he played. It is goddamn insanity. Like, he would, if he were playing now, that dude could have, like, 7,000-yard seasons. No problem.
I think he's cool with Peyton breaking his records because at least Peyton acknowledges all these things that you're saying. He actually does point out, like, nah, Marino was really good. He didn't have a lot of the benefits I did.
Not only that, he was on a crap team. It wasn't even like, hey, the rules don't favor me. He was on a crap team to begin with.
Get out of here. I don't really like Dan Marino. I think he's a prick.
He was great in Ace Ventura.
That's really. That's why I think he's a good dude.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No, I was actually in Miami this weekend. And I know
he can be a donk. I'm sure he is. He's a
well, I didn't run into him. I can't confirm this, so. But no, just talking to people who've been lifelong Dolphins fans, the biggest problem he had is they could never run the ball while he's quarterback. Because he didn't care about what happened on running plays. He was basically the quarterback equivalent of Randy Moss. Everybody gets mad at Randy Moss for playing when he wanted. For Dan Marino, he just kind of checked out on running plays. So apparently it was really easy to tell on defense where the ball was going on a run play, because Dan Marino telegraphed it. He never really tried to hide when there was going to be a run play. You could kind of like read that he's going to hand the ball off and he's going to tip off which side the guy's going to run.
I mean, I'd never thought of that, but I was also going to say, like, what do you want to do? Like, jump up and down and distract the opposition? I mean, but you're saying at least sell the run, and I can't really argue that. So way to kill all the fun, Howard. Way to be a D about it. Do we, we're going to skip fan and focus this week just because we have so many people in studio, and, really we just want to bang out the last half of the show. Covering the games we want to see this week, if anything's watchable.
I want to do a preview. I do want to get my old roommate in Baltimore onto the show soon.
Okay.
To talk about his experiences going to Ravens games. So that's kind of my...
Was there a lot of white trash and purple camo? Was that his experience?
His best story that we have to talk to him about is the trip he took for one of the Baltimore one of the Baltimore playoff games at Pittsburgh.
Oh, wow.
So he definitely went to one of those games, and he had quite the experience, I'll say that, because he definitely was a defiant Ravens fan, so.
Bigger balls than me.
Sounds frightening.
Yeah.
And he went by himself. That was my favorite part.
Oh, jeez.
He was just like, I don't need anybody's help. I'm just going to go.
I mean, it's like I look at that as being brave as hell, and then I'm like, what do you really expect to happen?
Well, fortunately, the Ravens lost that game. I think that was to his benefit. So,
yeah.
Honestly, less will happen when your team loses on the road.
So. Oh yeah, can you imagine had they won and you're just like, yeah, F y'all! He's wiping his ass with a terrible towel.
Did you hear what happened this weekend at the Pittsburgh at Jacksonville game?
No.
This was a recent headline. The Jacksonville mascot got in trouble.
Okay.
Really?
Okay.
The Twitterverse got really pissed at the Jacksonville mascots in the fourth quarter.
Oh no, the Twitterverse. I wish Tim's a dude who does a lot on Twitter. I wish I could get the Twitterverse to do anything.
I know,
I'd settle
right?
for 3 likes and a retweet.
But next time you're able to get onto an NFL field, hold up a sign that says, terrible towels, carry Ebola.
Really?
Yeah.
I like that. So. I've actually been so worried that I've had Ebola like the last week. I had horrible chills last night. I mean, horrible. I don't know. It was getting cold, so maybe I'm just a damn dummy here.
You know that guy flew through Dulles Airport, right?
Oh.
Yeah. One of his connections was Dulles Airport on the way back to Texas.
Oh, God. I'm...
That's a bummer.
You know me. I was raised by my mom. Howard met my mom. I can't help but be disease paranoid. And I'm just like, creep the hell out. A couple of days ago, I did a job, got some guys in their house, and then, like, they finally start talking to me. And I'm just like, oh. Thick African accents. I was like, why, God? Why? It's like, couldn't you have been Jamaican? God damn it.
They didn't spit on you or exchange fluids with you, did they?
Yeah, we sealed the deal by licking each other's eyeballs, actually.
Oh, that's goodness. Right.
He said it was a Liberian custom, so.
It's just common courtesy.
Yeah, really. Okay, let's get to what this weekend is going to offer in terms of games. The Thursday night actually potentially watchable. Howard, this is going to, again, be another first-year coach. So you're saying tune the hell out already, but it's the 3-2 Colts.
At least they're hosting.
Texans.
Yeah. It'll help, but I don't see how the Colts won't blow Houston out of the water in this game. I think it's going to be another blowout for another Thursday night, so don't even waste your time. I don't know what your shows are on Thursday, but they're going to be better than Thursday.
My Thursday programs? Yeah. Well, it's 91, so I watch Friends and Seinfeld.
Do you guys think, though, legitimately, that if these games that are played on Thursdays were on Sundays, that we'd see different outcomes? Do you think it's just a coincidence that it happens to be the Thursday action, that it's a short week?
I think there's absolutely a difference in outcome just based on the short week. Especially the thing with the first-year head coaches is they just don't have large books, like game plans with the players that they have, so... My concern is that if you're a first-year coach, you're using one of, like, the 4 or 5 game plans you've seen this season. And, you know, you look at some of the older established coaches, they got playbooks that date back several seasons. They can just pull an old one up and, like, polish it off. You have no idea what they're going to do. Whereas with the first-year coaches, there's only a limited number of things they can implement on a short week.
Yeah.
You can be way better prepared than they are.
No, it's like when you first start dating a girl and you're trying to figure everything out. It takes forever to get anything done, but like you've been with a girl 3-4 years, she walks in the door, you're just like Netflix, wine, massage, maybe sex. Okay. That's
interesting.
You know,
interesting.
In 8 seconds, you got everything lined up.
Hey, I'm taking notes here, all right?
Yeah.
Slow down. Go back to you.
Tom Coughlin's definitely figured out where Eli's G-spot is, and it's just that's how he's going to win on Thursday Night Football, man.
It's like they've played every team together in the league at least, what, 3 times at this point? I mean,
yeah. And the Redskins? Forget about it.
Oh, like, yeah. In your division, yeah.
Wow. Forget about it.
All right. Patriots at Bills, kind of interesting. They're both 3-2.
That's not interesting.
It is to me a little bit. It's in the AFC East, man. I think everyone who said last week that the Patriots eat ass and this week that they're golden gods again, you know, it'll be funny to see what they do in the division on the road.
My eyes are going to be geared towards the Jets and the Broncos because I want to see if Geno Smith can keep his job, basically. He's a starter for now, but is he going to make it to the third quarter this week? He's playing a pretty good squad in Denver, so.
I'm going to vote for no, but I don't know how you put Mike Vick in with a straight face either. It's like you do that when your team sucks and the game's over and you want to protect your quarterback, but it's like I have two 93 Civics. Like, what the hell do I care? Drive them both off a cliff. It doesn't matter. Lions at Vikings. The Lions lost a heartbreaker to Buffalo this week, as I recall. Their kicker went 0-4.
Game's only going to be interesting if Teddy Bridgewater's back for Minnesota. It's impossible to watch an NFL game with Christian Ponder at quarterback. It doesn't count as a professional football game.
I mean, it's only good, yeah, if the Lions win. If the Vikings win, I don't know what the hell the storyline is, other than the Lions are just tanking it yet again. If the Lions can pull it off, then they were looking, weirdly enough, like the class of the NFC North of at least last week. Now, with a kicker who can't make kicks, you're kind of out of the postseason. I don't know what
he got cut today, by the way.
He's done.
Is he gone?
Yeah. If he was a soccer player for another country, they would have executed him for doing
that. I was going to say, yeah. If he was on like an Olympic team for Iraq, his head and hands would be hanging from a goalpost right now. I personally don't know what they're going to do then at kicker because they already cut their 7th round pick this year.
They'll find somebody, man. There's always free agents out there.
This would be really funny if I remembered the name of the Titans kicker who just died.
Baronis, that's like, the job he was holding out for.
Okay, yeah.
Oh.
He should have held out a little longer.
That's right.
Let that be a lesson to you. Tim, if you ever think the podcast world is too hard and you want to get drunk and scream at people and then crash your pickup into a tree, don't do it.
Okay.
You could be 3 weeks away from a really sweet opportunity.
Oh, my goodness.
God, what's left? Chargers will smash the Raiders.
Take us back to the Panthers-Bengals. You got two quarterbacks that have underachieved in the playoffs going head-to-head.
I'm just glad you mentioned the Bengals because I wrote a note to myself while I was lying around watching the game. Andy Dalton looks like a retarded younger brother of Favre. Like, they look kind of related, but he just looks like the squirrely, he got dropped on his head when he was young brother.
Where's Wrangler jeans?
Yeah, exactly. Just touched. He just doesn't look like a leader. And, of course, I only can say that because he sucks. It's like when any old woman is like, oh, that criminal has crazy eyes. I knew he did that thing to that girl, you know, when they've seen like a mugshot. Like, whoever did the killing down in UVA recently. Every old woman sees that mugshot. It's like, I knew he was guilty. You know, it's just a picture of a dude with dreads. For God's sake, you knew nothing. But it's like, you look at a picture of Andy Dalton, he's just some dick on the street. He's nothing special. But once you view him through the prism of loser, you just believe it. Like Tom Brady, he could eat ass for 4 years, and you'd look at him, and he's still got that golden boy hair.
It's Giselle's ass, though, so it's okay.
Exactly. Oh, yeah.
He drives a Dodge Dart.
Yeah. And you could look at that guy and be like, really? He sucks? He looks so confident and cool. But if I show you a picture of Andy Dalton and I'm like, this guy fails in everything he does, you would take one look and be like, yes, clearly this is a dunce of a man who sucks.
If he reads a picture of himself, he reads it and says Andy Dalton, it's abbreviated, it says unadult, and he's like, I am an adult.
Yeah.
I'm so smart.
Oh, God.
I'll tell you my takeaway from this weekend, though, and one of the things involves him. It's the AFC playoff picture really got cleared up even more, I feel.
Denver and who?
San Diego? I was going to say San Diego looks like the one dark horse in the AFC that can compete right now with Denver. And the Patriots are showing signs of being the team they were last year, where everybody kind of knew it was going to automatically be Denver versus New England in the AFC Championship game last season. It's starting to feel a lot more again like that this week. I definitely feel people on that point just because there aren't a lot of good teams in the AFC right now. And Cincinnati didn't do anything to make anyone think
they're
going to compete.
It drove me berserk that, like, Cincinnati was becoming this sexy pick in Vegas as a Super Bowl winner. I think they were given 8-1 odds, and Denver and Seattle each had, like, 4-1 or something like that. I was like, who... Have you never seen Marvin Lewis at work before? That man lives to look befuddled on a sideline.
I think that the Bengals could make the Super Bowl if they were the one seed. I think Andy Dalton can win at home. Because they beat the Patriots last year in Cincinnati.
They're a bad primetime team. They're a bad road team. Andy Dalton gives me no confidence. No, okay, I watched a lot of the game before just saying, screw this, I've Boardwalk Empire.
It was brutally painful to watch them play, yeah.
The passing out of Dalton was inaccurate, and then, like, the passes that should have been complete, the receivers were just like, dropping them left and right. I had no idea what was going on, but it was clearly a team that had no concern about winning whatsoever.
Yeah. And I'll say this about the AFC. So we mentioned four teams. Everybody's got Denver and New England, again, back at the top of their boards. San Diego's looking better than they did last year, and they look like a team that could really compete from the outside looking in. But
last year, they're the ones that, like, just squeezed in.
But they're looking confident right now, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, last year, the story was that the Chiefs were world beaters up until the wheels kind of came off at the end. And this year, they're at 2-3, I believe.
Alex Smith's their quarterback. I just don't believe in that squad, man.
I don't hate him. I mean, if you're going to give any respect to Andy Dalton, Alex Smith is better than that.
Wow.
He is. No. I'll stand by that.
No.
He's matured into something better. I'm sorry. The last couple games that I think are worth talking about real fast, just Cowboys at Seahawks. That's a 4:25 game. A good national viewing. Oh, it's just like watching Hitler fight Stalin. Like, can they both die and lose? I don't really know who to root for here. Lots of injuries. I'm rooting for a game very much like Mutant League football. With trick plays,
old
dynamite.
School.
Yeah, wow, exactly. Some barbecue pits on the field.
You want the field to open up like that scene in the last Batman movie? Yeah. Where just starts eating.
Exactly,
the
play. Exactly. Who was it that looked behind him? It was Hines Ward, right? Who completed, got the touchdown pass, and looks behind, and yeah, the whole team's gone. Give me that. Give me that, Fox, if you want to spice things up.
I still watch old YouTube clips of Tony Romo botching that snap in Seattle in the playoffs.
Oh, God.
For that extra point.
That's when I'm limp in bed and nothing's doing. That's what I think about. That is, and then all of a sudden I have the Empire State in my pantalones. And Giants at Eagles.
I'm excited about that game. That's going to be nice. Bellwether for the new look Giants offense. They've been starting to sink in the last couple weeks, so let's see how they do against Chip Kelly's phenomenal entry into the league. Let's see if that team can actually compete in the NFL the way that so far they've been able to run the East, but I don't know. Eagles lately haven't looked that good, so let's see if they can actually compete this year against the Giants.
All right, folks, that is Papa's Football Podcast. I was joined today by a lovely gang of folks. I'm John Papagiorgio at Papa's Basement on Twitter, and the show site is pfpod.com. If you do iTunes or Stitcher, you can subscribe to the show. Simply look up Papa's, that's with an apostrophe S, Football Podcast, and subscribe, give us likes, reviews, all that good crap. Howard, we need to mention your Indiegogo project super fast. This is your day job kind of stuff, and it can actually make you some money.
Yeah, it's the Vinny Van Gogh show.
Okay.
You can find it on Indiegogo. Just search for Vinny Van and you'll find it.
Vinny Van on Indiegogo. Or
using puppets to teach copyright, folks.
There you go.
It's a worthwhile enterprise. So,
Tim, thank you. You're sticking around to record the regular show, I hope, as well.
Absolutely.
Sweet. And that, again, on Twitter is at Tim Trueheart. And he's on the Jellyvision show, which is at Jellyvision Live. Doyen, Matt Doyen,
it's
say
been
something.
A pleasure. Been a pleasure. Fourth mic, something I'm not accustomed to. I'll get a bigger fiddle, though.
Don't worry. It's a bit of a packed house, but Howard, I like having extra people.
Yeah, it's always nice having the infusion of good content, yeah.
Yeah, and then we can just start rotating you guys like like some sort of horrific, I want to be like Bill Paxton, really. And what was my favorite damn show with him, with the Sister Wives and all that crap?
Big Love.
Big Love on HBO.
There we go. I'm going to be doing Janine Triplehorn. And I'm going to be doing the one with the jugs, the young one, Margie.
Mm-hmm.
None of that.
Is Chloe Sevigny?
None of that Chloe Sevigny, whatever. Oh, she had a body, but that face. That face was nothing good. All bad news on that face front. All right, you want to get a hold of Matt. It's at the Doyinian on Twitter. The Doyinian. All right, folks, we are going to reconvene momentarily for Papa's Basement. And till then, we're out of here.